Hello. All right. That's weird. I thought the mic was off, but it was on. Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's having a wonderful morning so far. It's actually reading break, so I hope everyone takes this time to kind of relax and get, you know, things done. Before we start, I'll just do the land acknowledgement ID, the station ID, and then some PSAs and some ads, and we'll get right to it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam Nisiaya,
and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail. CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a yerba mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of yerba mate. Visit guayaki.com. GUAYAKI.com to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free yerba mate can.
Hey, it's Dust Quain. I'm inviting you to grab tickets for my album release show on October 13th at the iconic Lido. To celebrate the release of my debut album, Arcana, I assembled my band, the River Children. I'll be bringing you the iconic so-so drag you've come to expect from me, but with some incredible new music. It'll be like a gay Counting Crows concert, one not to be missed. For the occasion, I've invited T. Fanny and Twin Walker to be my guests. This show is going to be historic. I'll be stepping out to lead this band in drag. Join us Thursday, October 13th at the Lido in Vancouver. Get your tickets at dustquain.ca.
Hi there. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
For your oral listening pleasure, please join me, Marguerite, Sundays at 9 a.m. for Classical Chaos, classical music from around the world, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We'll see you then.
All right, we're back. And today we have Harmela again.
Hello.
All right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. How are you, Jeff?
Not bad. I mean, reading break has come.
Yes.
But the weird thing is that all the assignments that I needed to hand in were due like yesterday.
Oh.
So it's like...
That's good, though.
I guess it's good. Yeah. It's just like chill for, what, 5 days?
Uh-huh.
But yeah. This week, Harmela has recommended the movie Lost in Translation,
mm-hmm.
With Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. So that's... what we will be discussing today.
Yes.
The first thing I want to get into would be, what's the message that you got from the movie?
I would say I walked away from the movie thinking about companionship and finding companionship in unexpected characters and situations, and in loneliness, you know?
Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I could see that as well. Mm-hmm. Companionship with Scarlett, because it's like I was hoping but also glad that Scarlett and Bill Murray didn't end up together, because I think that was something that I was hoping, because I've watched a lot of rom-coms and I was expecting them to be, you know, like end up together as a couple, but I was like, ugh, yeah. Like they're pretty, like the age gap is big, and I think, yeah, companionship was the message that the writer was trying to get at, which they did phenomenal at, because there were a lot of scenes where they were just hanging out and just talking about what they were doing and like what they were up to and what their problems were in life and just sharing all that and like getting personal, but not like getting intimate.
Yes, but intimate in like a really, yeah, like, in the least non-sexual, yeah, way. Yeah. Or the most non-sexual way, mm-hmm, and also in like a very true and sincere way, which I think I really appreciated in the film, because I've been thinking about intimacy a lot, and to see intimacy in this sort of platonic and true and like almost, there was so much potential for things to go south and for either of them to make a misstep, but I think they both had very true intentions with the other to just genuinely like be in their presence, that things never, I mean, they're both in relationships or they're both married, and they never came across, you know, infidelity or anything of the like, besides, you know, the one kiss at the end, but that's like,
I think I would just consider that as like a, like, just a greeting kiss, I guess.
Yeah.
It was sweet. It was in the elevator, right?
Yeah. And there was, like, another one. He was kissing her cheek when they're in the street. And then, yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I guess this is going off topic, which we will get into. But do you know what the last, like, what he whispered in Scarlett's ear?
No. And oh, I loved that.
I tried to search up what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's discuss, like, let's just try and assume what we thought he said.
Okay.
But yeah, the message that I got was how there is two sides to how people are in a new environment and how they adapt with, like, how they adapt as the person that's in the new environment and how the people around them kind of treat them. So that's what I got a lot from the movie. And obviously Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson are in a new environment that they're not used to, and so you could clearly see that the differences are hitting them, and they're just not, like, they don't really want to be there. Like Bill Murray, he was doing the photo shoot, and he just wanted to leave. Yeah. He wanted to go back to LA, and the scene where the Japanese guy was like ranting about how Bill Murray was like supposed to, like, whatever he was supposed to do in the shoot, and then the translator's saying like two words,
yeah,
and Bill Murray's like, I'm pretty sure he said something else. That was funny at first, but then I'm sure the producer, whoever was in charge of like what Bill Murray was supposed to do, was trying to get, like, was probably giving him real details about what he should be doing, but I don't know why the translator said it that way.
Yeah.
But I could see how it could come across, how Bill Murray would, like, think, are they, like, messing with me right now?
Yeah.
Or is it because, like, I don't understand them? Like, what are they doing? Yeah. But I'm sure it's, I mean, in cases, you know, they are probably messing with you. But I'm sure in that case, they were just doing the best that they could.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, those moments where I could see, like, the misunderstanding aspect of the movie, that was big for me. And, like, all the comedic scenes.
Yeah, and I think it's just clicked for me that that scene where the director is giving notes and then those notes are getting lost in translation.
Yeah, that's what I got too.
Yeah, and that idea of I'm trying to communicate something to you, and it's just not reaching you. And they're having this, like, experience with everyone around them, you know, like her husband even. These words, they're being communicated, but they're not hitting. There's no, like, there's no understanding of the other besides in each other, besides the way that Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson's characters speak to each other. It's sort of like, oh, finally, someone gets me. Or finally, I can just, like, be here and say what I mean, and you are getting what I'm saying. And so that final moment of him whispering into her ear, I think it's not for us in a sense of, like, they get each other, and they're the only ones in this situation that could understand each other in the way that they needed to be understood. So when you're seeing him whisper into her ear, it's not for us because we don't understand them like they understand each other. It's and them even standing in the middle of a busy street and people are just passing by and they're just holding each other. It's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for being my home here, you know?
I didn't get that, actually. Because, yeah, I think I touched upon, like, the tip of why the title was lost in translation. Mm-hmm. And everyone can assume that, it's lost in translation because they're in Japan. Mm-hmm. They speak English. Barely anyone there speaks English. So that's what I thought. Like, okay, yeah, that's probably why the title was lost in translation. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, now that you mention it, those two are kind of connecting in a way that they aren't connecting with their spouses, mm-hmm. which is, like, not only are they lost in translation in terms of language, but even the people that they're with, which is, like, weird. And then we're actually lost in translation in terms of the audience, because, like you said, when he whispered, now I know why they kind of added that scene in. It's like adding another meaning to why the title is lost in translation, which is pretty deep, actually. Yeah.
I like this film. I'm liking it more as we're talking about it.
Me too. Yeah. I didn't know that. Uh-huh. That's why I like discussing movies, because I get why, like, things happen, like, the reason for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the comedic scenes that were in the movie were not as funny for me, because although I couldn't relate fully, I could kind of see the struggle. I mean, I guess if they were kids and they were experiencing that in school, I'd most of the audience would probably be more empathetic and be like, yeah, that's not comedy. But since they're adults, I think there is, like, this stereotype, I guess, for how, yeah, adults, like, they're fine, they're gonna be fine, but it's really not.
Mm. Which scenes did you think were trying to be funny but then weren't funny?
The photo shoot one was what I could imagine, that, like, feeling that of, like, everyone just saying stuff to me, then my translator, who's supposed to be sending all the messages, is not. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so clear that she's not. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. That one was, like, very frustrating for me. There was one where, I don't think it was, like, a comedic scene, but where he was waiting in the hospital, and then he was talking to the grandpa or grandma beside him.
That
one was kind of funny, but I could also see, like, how much he was trying to kind of communicate with her.
Yeah.
That one was actually kind of funny.
I thought that was cute.
Sweet. That was really that was sweet. I can't really think of any.
She's drawing the circle and he's like,
yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know what.
Mm-hmm. The two ladies laughing in the back, they're like, oh, goodness.
But those scenes, I think they were meant to kind of show the struggle of how people that are in a new place. How much they have to deal with, mm-hmm. and how much more they have to do to just be like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a very important thing that this movie kind of wanted to show the audience.
Yeah.
And I think they did it in a pretty good way, too. It wasn't, like, too, like, offensive towards where, like, oh, yeah, like, why is those, like, Japanese people, like, why? It wasn't like that. It was more of, like, the, oh, okay, like, now I know why.
Mm-hmm. I wish they mocked Japanese culture less. That's how, like, I was kind of rubbed the wrong way when I was watching some scenes in the film.
A little bit.
And everything where it seemed like these Americans are above, this, like, sort of caricature of, like, Japanese culture, you know? Like, it felt almost stereotypical, their depiction. Like, I'm pretty sure she was on the subway or something, and then, like, there's just a dude holding, like, hentai. Did you see that? Like,
what?
A book. Yeah, he was, like, reading a book, and then in the book, there's, like, hentai and stuff. And I was like, okay. Like, you're just taking, it seemed like.
That's weird.
Yeah. I was like, you're just taking things that you associate with, like, Japan and, like,
yeah, that's
using that.
I didn't even catch that.
To portray the culture. That's one of the things I disliked about the film.
Mm.
What did you dislike? Or what stood out to you?
Well, I do want to start with, I didn't really get, that mocking feeling of Japanese culture. I mean, mm-hmm. the hentai thing is kind of weird of how they put that in. I think I do get that stereotypical, like, vibe of how high-pitched their voices are, or like how much enthusiasm they have towards that American coming into their country and just doing the photo shoot. I think I just saw it more positive, I guess, more of like, oh yeah, they're just really excited because there's like a new person. I found it kind of funny how I think he was in the elevator or in the subway, and how he was the tallest person out of every. He was like a head taller than everyone, and I'm like, did they do this on purpose? Like, wow, okay,
for the shot.
Yeah, maybe. Like they just like okay, they were just trying to like show how yeah, like these white people, like Americans, are just so much taller. Than, I got that a little bit, and I was like, okay. I wish there was kind of a flashback of Bill Murray's life, because I really want to know what his relationship with his wife and his kids were, because it only says that basically he's a workaholic and he's just working and working and working and just not caring as much about his family and how he basically like loses them, because like he's like, they would talk on the phone. Are they still married, by the way?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because they seem like they were divorced or something, because the way that they would talk with each other and the thing that they would say is just like, it almost feels like a forceful marriage.
Yeah.
Like they kind of have to make it work.
And I think that's how I understood the marriage. Like how you're describing it now, I was like, okay, I get it. Because it's that kind of relationship where you're very much disconnected. You're in this together. You have the kids to take care of. He's going to go, you know, make the money, bring it home for the children, and then... and then they just continue this kind of lifestyle. And it made sense to me why him and Scarlett Johansson would connect so well, because she's the same. I mean, we had this conversation almost or pretty much with Letters to Juliet, where is her man? Like, yeah. Scarlett Johansson is sitting in this hotel in Japan, just staring out the window for like a good 70% of the movie.
Yeah, literally.
And he, at night too, like she's just completely alone. Where is he? He doesn't even come home to her at all. The only times we see her are when he's leaving or when they're with that other actress.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, one of my questions is, oh, is he possibly...
like doing it with her?
Yeah. Doing it with her or doing it with other people? Is there infidelity involved? And so it like, or is that something that's on her mind? Is it something she's even thinking about?
You mean he's thinking about?
Or she, like if she's wondering.
Oh, if she assumes.
That he's, you know, out cheating or not, you know.
I think Scarlett Johansson's spouse was actually a nice dude. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like a bad person. I think he really loved Scarlett. Mm-hmm. It's just how worked up he was with his job and how much, but that's such an excuse, right? Because I feel like relationships could still work long distance, even though if you have things to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was... I'm sure that there... That's why I want to know... Like, I want to see the flashback, because I'm sure there was something there in their relationship that was already starting to break before he came to Japan. Mm-hmm. Or before Scarlett came to Japan. Like, with... There has to be something. It can't be just, like, them being alone and then all of a sudden, like they're just done. Like, yeah. They know that they're not... Because they both know for sure that they don't belong, like, with each other's spouses.
You think so?
They know that. I mean, mm-hmm. Scarlett, she called... Who was it again? Like, her friend or her sister or something? Yeah. And she's, like, trying to tell her how, like, why did I marry him? Mm-hmm. And, like... I don't know, Scarlett. I need to know your past. Mm. But then again, you know she's really young. Like, she just graduated from Yale or something.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I couldn't tell if it was, like, university, like, her bachelor's. I was like, maybe she was in grad school. Who knows?
Even if she was in her grad school, she's still in her 20s.
Yeah, she looked very young.
And
I'm sorry. Yeah. Bill Murray looked so old.
You know, their real age gap is, like, 30 years, I think?
Yeah, it's shown.
Actually, no, more, I think. Like, 40 years almost?
Makes even more sense. Oh. I was honestly revolted
watching. I really wish it was, like, a smaller age guy, because he did look, like, almost like a dad.
Yes, and it would, like, or even grandpa. Almost. I don't know, it was, I could get behind it if he was cuter. I must be honest.
Yeah, it was way, and he had, like, a small kid too, so I'm like, yeah, when did this guy get, like, when did he have a kid? Like, did he have a kid at 50? Like, I don't know. I mean, nothing wrong with having a kid at 50, uh-huh, but good
for you.
It was clear for me that they both didn't want to be with each other's spouses or, like, partners.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they wanted to be with each other?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think they just enjoyed their company with each other, because I feel like it was more of... There were just so many factors that would play into that, because they're in Japan. They don't know. I mean, Scarlett knows people, but she just, like, they would go to the party and stuff, but they wouldn't really, you know, hang out with each other. So both of them are in Japan. They're basically both struggling to be in a new environment. Mm-hmm. And the people that they're supposed to be with aren't there. They're lonely. They can't get sleep for some reason. I mean, probably have their reasons. And I think it was just everything just came to place at the right time in the right moment. And they just kind of found each other and just... I think they just, they just enjoyed being with each other and just finally being with someone that they could be real with and mm-hmm. just say things that they felt and not worry about what this person's going to think about or any of that. They could just be true to themselves and just let out what they needed to let out.
Did you see love between them?
Love is a very broad word. In terms of...
Romantic love.
Ooh, romantic love. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite type of love. Mm. Romantic... briefly. Very briefly. Okay. I could see it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I really thought that Bill Murray was going to make a move. But when he didn't, I was like, oh, he's a man. Like, he's a gentleman. I think when they were both in bed and they were just talking, I was like, wait, are they gonna?
I was like, please, I don't want to see it.
But I was expecting it. Yeah. But when they just, like, talked and just fell asleep, I felt like, oh my God, like they're actually really lonely. Yeah. Like, they just really wanted someone to talk with. Mm. And
when he placed his hand on her foot.
Yeah, that was like. I didn't find that inappropriate at all. I thought it was really, really romantic.
It was so tender.
Yeah, it was super smooth, like, sweet. Like, it was such a good way to end that night, mm-hmm. that night scene. I think it was beautiful. I don't know, romantic. Do you think that there was, like, this romantic love going on?
I think it was love. Romantic? Because what is romantic love? Does that also encapsulate sexual attraction? Because this felt like the farthest thing from sexual attraction.
Ooh, but romantic.
if romantic love is seeing someone's heart for what it is and like loving it and feeling bonded to that, then yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But if maybe that's platonic love at the same time, because, you know, what would be platonic love if it wasn't love without sexual attraction?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I were to define romantic love, sexual attraction should be in it.
Yeah.
But in this case, I would probably make an exception because it was more of... Because it was definitely love.
Yes.
But almost, I kind of want to drift away from the love aspect of it and just see it as just them individually and what they were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And because it seemed like to me that they would just discuss things together and then go back to their lives and then reflect back on it, come back, discuss. Like every time they met, it was like more and more. They just wanted to be with each other like more and more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. I kind of felt bad for both of them because they couldn't really escape from where they were. But then again, like they really, really wanted to and they had a good reason to.
Yeah. And I think they were each other's escape.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honest. Yeah, they were. Mm. Yeah, it was kind of sad, but also it was nice to see how they were connecting with each other throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. It was really nice to see, actually. I didn't get any creepy vibes from Bill Murray, although he looked pretty old and he was hanging around with an adult, by the way. It's not like she's a kid.
Yeah.
But did you get any of like that weird, creepy vibes from Bill Murray? Like, why is that old guy hanging out with a young girl that's married and you're married and you have a kid? Uh-huh. Like, was there anything like, did that even cross your mind? That didn't even cross my mind. Oh. I was just like focused on them and just how they were, you know, just they were just friends.
Yeah, I was in the beginning when, you know, he was like looking at her in the elevator and I was like, oh, I felt like her at times and stuff. It's just like there's this older guy and you're like, oh, hey, looking at me, hi. Anyways.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got a different message from that.
But, yeah, and I think as time passed, I think if it was him pursuing her throughout the film, or at the beginning of the film when they were first getting to know each other, then it would have been creepier. But it was genuinely, like, reciprocated. She bought him some drinks from across the bar, and then he didn't use that. I really loved... when she bought him a drink and then he took the drink and left.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, are we going to see him like go up to her and try and like, oh, hey, you bought me a drink. Like you're interested.
I was glad. That's the thing though. Like there were so many things that just didn't give me that weird vibe.
Yes. I was waiting to get that vibe, honestly, of, oh, ew. Like, this is creepy.
Ew.
Ew. But it never settled in. If anything, I was just like, he's old. Like,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad, though. You know, the idea of, like, watching an older person on screen and just being revolted by that, that's something I need to confront within myself. And I think we all need to confront as a society because... We can't just, like, lock old people up in the closet. They deserve to be out here.
Yes.
In the streets, in the films, and in love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could... I guess when Bill Murray saw Scarlett in the elevator, my initial response was, if I were him, I'd be like, oh, my God, finally another white person. Like... You know, like
that's
that.
What I thought too.
I was like, it was not like, oh my God, she's beautiful.
No,
it was more of like,
that's exactly.
Thank God, there's another
too.
White person that like.
He's like, oh
my God, and finally.
Thank goodness.
But he didn't want to. I feel like he just like said that, and then in his mind, and then he didn't really do anything because maybe he just thought it was creepy or something. But that's my initial response. I'm like, oh. Like, oh my God, there's another white person.
That's what I.
And he was just more excited just to see.
A fellow Caucasian.
Yeah, it was more of Scarlett approaching Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And I loved how that was... And Bill Murray didn't even... escalate anything. He just went with how Scarlett was feeling. Mm-hmm. There is this one thing that I would... Well, first off, did Bill Murray cheat? He did, right?
No.
Wait, with that redhead.
Oh, I was confused. Did he cheat?
I don't...
At that part. Because I was like, she was in the room, and then she was like... She did not receive that well. Like, when she knocked on his door, and she heard her in the back, she was not having it.
Like,
so,
both of them, because they met up at, like, this place, like, this restaurant.
And yeah,
like, what's
and
this
it was
tension?
Awkward, yeah.
Yeah, it was like...
He did. He must have.
Did he cheat? Oh,
yeah.
No, he...
And I... Also, I love the fact that he didn't cheat with her, with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that's such a glad... I'm so glad that he did. If he, I mean, he shouldn't have cheated.
Yeah, no.
If you were,
yeah.
then don't do it. Don't
that.
Do it, Scarlett,
and I think that also speaks to him valuing the relationship in that sense of being like, well, yes, I'm going to cheat, but I'm not going to use you for that those purposes. Which is also...
Yeah, that when he... When the scene when he woke up and there was like champagne and the girl was singing and I was like, did he cheat? But yeah, I was also glad that that he didn't do it with Scarlett.
Yeah.
But when they met up at the restaurant and that weird tension and Bill Murray saying along the lines of like, do you have anyone else to bother or something like that? I was like, wait, why is he like?
Yeah.
What's with like the attitude all of a sudden? Like, why is
maybe because he felt guilty? That's how I took it. Because he's been caught in the act, you know. He knows that she's judging him. And so he's like, well, like, you.
It's like now he's trying to be an adult. Like, hey, like,
yeah.
You know, adults, it's complicated.
Yeah. you want to judge me? Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Whatever.
And just, like, being kind of, like, rude in that sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand, like, why there was. But then, you know, they ended up going
fine.
To, like, a strip club, I think.
Yeah.
Which was, like. There's just so many, like you said, like all that inappropriate stereotype of Japan, it was just in that movie. And I was like, okay, maybe why couldn't they show like a beautiful alley of like Osaka or something? I don't know.
I didn't feel like I got to be immersed in the culture, which is anyone that has been to Japan, or at least the people I know, speak of it so highly. And I just didn't feel like they were speaking of Japan highly in this film, in the context that they were showing it in. There were, I think it's also interesting to see the sexuality, aside from like the stereotypical depiction of Japan, but just to look at them being surrounded by sexuality in that sense, like being at that strip club with each other. But not partaking in it with one another. You know, it's like, oh, we understand that this is an element. Like, there is, it's expected. Like, I wonder if the other person, or if either of them were ever wondering, are we going to have an affair? Like, is that what this is? And then they just proved to one another time and time again that this relationship is not for that.
Yeah, I'm sure it crossed their mind. I mean, it kind of has to. I mean, it's like inevitable.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, that them going to like a strip club together, I think that was like a final answer to, yeah, I don't think this is that type of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually been to Japan. Mm-hmm. I think like when I was in middle school. It is like a really, really fun place to be. I actually did, I mean, the inappropriate stuff is somewhat accurate. Mm-hmm. I did go to like this store and they would sell these deck of cards with naked girl pictures on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my god. But yeah, other than that,
wow.
Oh my god. You know, when you're in middle school, you're like, oh my god, like,
instant
is
heart
this
eyes.
Even allowed? But yeah,
sneak it into your bag.
Yeah. But the food there is great. My grandma used to live in Japan.
Oh.
My grandpa. Yeah, my grandparents from my mom's side lived in Japan basically for like over like decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we would go visit. But Japan is like an amazing place. A lot of people. I love that scene where it was like a four-way traffic thing, and they would just run across, and get the cabs and stuff. I don't know. I kind of found that pretty romantic and fun.
I thought it was so romantic.
Yeah, I found that like
just running around, and it felt real to me. This film felt very, very grounded in reality and charming in that way. And a lot of times in my life, I'm like, huh, this feels like a movie. But then I have to remind myself that movies are meant to feel like real life. It's not like, oh, like this moment is movie-like. Yeah. It's just that movies try to capture these kinds of moments. And I really appreciated when they were running around inside. I don't even know what he was doing. There was a man who came out with, it looked like a gun.
Oh, yeah,
was just
shooting.
Yeah.
It
was like a laser gun.
I don't even know. Like I know, right? Like, where did that? I don't know.
That was not a gun. There were no bullets.
I know.
He was just shooting, like, lasers. And they were running for their lives.
It was kind of a weird scene, actually. I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
You know what? Now that you say that, a movie is supposed to feel like real life.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before we started talking, there wasn't really a climax or the drama that movies usually have. And that's basically our life. I mean, our life is not covered with like huge, like, I don't know, like intense, dramatic incidents all the time. It's just like a once in a while thing. And most of the time, we're just repeating the same thing every day, maybe tweaking some bits. And I think it was almost representing how life is in general and how boring it can be.
Mm-hmm.
How Bill Murray's just going to wake up, go to work, get a $2 million check, go home, see his family, and repeat the process.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Scarlett. She's married. She'd probably have a kid or something. I don't know. It's just, I think it was interesting how, now that I think of it, that's how they represented not only their lives, but possibly our lives as an audience as well.
Yeah. And the idea of not everyone who you connect with is supposed to be this magical person who you spend happily ever after with. They can be someone who you connect with and love, and that's it. And eventually you will have to part ways for whatever circumstances, but that doesn't diminish the fact that they are this person who you love and connect with and see, like truly see. Because I think I've something I'm grappling with because of what I've grown up seeing in movies is, well, I mean, we had all of this, like I felt like we really connected, and then just nothing came afterwards. And it happens a lot. Nothing comes from a lot of relationships, because I don't know if relationships are supposed to give you things always or be something for you always or change your life or stay in your life for this sort of unprecedented amount of ever after, if that makes sense.
Do you think relationships are more of what you make of it?
Of course, always, just like anything in life. And the thing is, you can't always do that, though. Like, I can want a relationship to be something that lasts until the end of time. And I can have that idea, like, this is what I'm going to make of it, you know? And it's just not going to happen. And you can't force it. You just never, you never can. And that's why when they were just parting ways and holding each other and understanding, I thought it was very grounded. And I think also Bill Murray's maturity in this moment really cemented that, of understanding that this relationship has been a beautiful thing. And after I leave, it's going to end.
Mm.
You know, there is a timeline for relationships, unfortunately, a lot of the time. And we can pick them back up. But most of the time, when you both set on your different paths, they end.
Yeah, I think sometimes, though, I think they should.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of moments where you're in, like, I don't know, when I was younger, I'd be, like, in, I don't know, Chuck E. Cheese or something, and we would hang out for, like, an hour or two, and then when we finally decide that we need to go, I don't want to. And eventually, if we do leave, I think ending that with, like, wanting more is going to benefit you later on. Because mm-hmm. if you were to meet each other again, it's like, still the same. Like, you're not, I'm not saying if you're there for long enough that it's going to get, like, you're waiting to get, I don't know, like, used to it too much, mm-hmm. and that excitement is just going to leave. So sometimes I think it's almost like giving space to, like, what you really, really want, because it kind of gives you the time to reflect back and just see, like, maybe it's, like, not too good to just stay all the time.
Yeah. I heard this one person say that when you're trying to, like, grip your hand so tight onto something, you forget that your hands are closed and you can't open, like, your hands aren't even open to receive it, you know, for the odds, for the thing to be placed in your hands. And I was like, ah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's so, like, weird, though, because, like, you kind of need to grab it.
Yeah.
But then you also need to receive some stuff. So then it's like.
It's like, wait, it's how, like, do I open I it up? Yeah. Fine. Like, am I supposed to forget about it? Am I supposed to just, like, close my eyes and try to pretend like I don't want it so bad, you know?
Do you think there's also, like, this misconception where it's like people are like, yeah, don't force it, just go with how it goes, and then people start assuming that going with the flow is not making an effort at all, yes. and just being like, yeah, if our relationship works out, it does. If yeah. it doesn't, like, I think you still
and I'm not gonna do
yeah,
anything.
Nothing. All you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you still need to have that idea of, like, I want this to work. Like, that idea is still embedded in my brain. It's just, let's just not try to force whatever that's not working. Let's accept what's not working and just try and see what we can make to work out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think people don't know. People can say, okay, at least I am people, okay? Yeah. I don't know how to go with the flow. I can be like, well, I'll try and just suss it out. But, like, where do I step in? You know, I'm in terms of, like, taking the first step, it really depends on the day. And I think that's the way it is for a lot of people. It's like, I don't know if I'm ready to take the first step today, but ask me in 2 weeks and maybe I will, you know?
Yeah. It depends. There's so many factors that depend, because one day you like someone and one day you don't. But then the next day you think about it again and you like them. Uh-huh. And then you think about, why do I like them?
Uh-huh.
It's just it.
And then you're like, this is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do anything about it.
It's weird. It's like, yeah, you know what? I think she's my friend.
Yeah.
And then you start doing things, like, acting sweet. And then you're like, wait, is she going to assume that I like her?
Yeah.
Wait, do I like her? I don't know. Like, there's so many things that go in your mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just be like, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just think it's simple.
Sometimes I wish I didn't think about what other people thought. And I think it would grant me a lot of freedom, you know? Because the idea of... It's not the idea of, like, going up to a guy and being like, oh, hello, da-da-da-da. Like, that's embarrassing to me. No. But the idea of doing that and him thinking, oh, she likes me, that bothers me to my very core.
I don't like that either. I mean, yeah. I've met a lot of people and they'd be like, dude, this is so funny. I find this really funny. They would be like, yeah, you know, we would be talking about, like, their friends, and then he'd be like, yeah, she used to like me. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
How do you, like, did she tell you she liked you? And,
yeah.
And then they're like, no, like, they just kind of, like, and I'm like, dude, like, there's so many cases where that happens
mm-hmm.
for guys and girls, like, the people I know. And I'm like, how do you know for sure that they used to like, that's just so... That's such a general thing to say, like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. And that's what I'm kind of afraid of. I'm like, what if I give the wrong impression?
Mm-hmm.
And they think that I'm like, no, like, I just really think your hair is pretty. Like, that's all that's all I wanted to tell you. Like,
yeah.
That's it. Please. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask where you're from. Yeah, I was just curious.
You know?
Maybe I could like you. And that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I could like you.
For sure.
We both of us need to stop obsessing over the idea of the possibility of liking.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just so complex.
It's so complex.
It's so weird, too. But yeah, I kind of want to get into Bill Murray feeling like not important in his relationship with his wife and his kid. Because I found that very, very sad how they portrayed him as a person that just doesn't mean anything and is just an ATM that gives him money. And that was, that just literally breaks my heart. Because, and even the wife too, like, why is she treating him like he's just some guy that just, you know, like, it's just so, I just really didn't like how that was. I mean, Bill Murray obviously has something to do with that too, because like, he missed his son's birthday, which that's pretty harsh. But the aspect of like how both of them are still parenting, they just have different roles. But just because the person that's with their kid, you know, it means that they're more influential or like needed in the relationship. That's just, I just don't think that that should be the case.
Unfortunately, I feel like this is not uncommon in that sense, you know, where the like mom has to step up for the family and like be the caretaker in every sense of the word. And then dad is sort of, you know, he's there sometimes, but not really. And I think, I just wonder why he was so passive about it. I mean, I really don't know what the relationship is like, but it was clear that he seemed checked out. And even his kids, there was one point where she was like, oh, she wants to talk to you, like his young daughter, over the phone.
And she's like, no, right?
Yeah. And she's like, oh, wait, never mind. She doesn't want to, but she misses you so much. And it's interesting because I can see in the way that his wife speaks that, and the way Bill Murray speaks, that he feels rejected and his family, in some sense, also feels rejected. There's just this mismatch. And when both parties feel rejected like that, there isn't really a way in. I forgot what he would... Oh, he said when he was in the bathtub over the phone, he was like, I love the food here. I want to start eating
Japanese food.
Japanese food, because like, it's good for me. And she's like, okay, well, maybe just stay there then.
Why would she do... I don't know why she would say that.
Well, probably because he was supposed to come home sooner and didn't. He's been distant. And, like, just all of this... Like, it was very clear that in that moment, he was trying to extend, like, an olive branch. You know, like, have a conversation about this. And then she's hearing that and being like, oh, well, you love Japan so much and you're not at home with the kids. You've just missed your son's birthday. Fine. You can stay there because clearly you're not, you don't want to be here. Like it seemed like she and probably the kids felt like you don't want to be here. And then Bill Murray's like, you don't want me there. And I think this happens for, or I feel like this is a pattern that pops up for a lot of families, is to just like not talk about the core insecurity, you know, and that core insecurity being, I don't feel wanted and you make me feel unwanted. And it was sad, and I could see that this relationship, like with Scarlett Johansson, for him was something that provided safety and like something of, oh, you do want me here, and like my presence is appreciated. I'm not an F up, essentially. Yeah.
But then again, I think the reason why Bill Murray thought that he was not wanted was because he lost of why he was there. Like, you're there to get a $2 million check, yeah. Which, can we just, like, stop and just think about... Dude, Bill Murray is like rich as hell in that movie. Yes. Like when he said that he was getting a $2 million, I was like, hold up.
I was like, oh,
who the hell are you? Like who? Yeah. You're getting a $2 million check?
He's a movie star.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, you're getting a check to go home to your family to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you think ever that you would, like, you're, you know, like an F up? Like, I just don't, that's why you need to, you really need to look back and see why you're there and what you're doing so you don't lose sense of, like, oh, maybe my family doesn't need me. No, you're there because your family does need you.
Yeah.
But I guess you could mislead yourself into that idea of maybe I'm not that important to my family, but you are. And the way the wife acts towards him, like, why couldn't you have said, oh, maybe if you come back, I'll make some Japanese food. Maybe we'll see, like, maybe you could compare how the food is like with mm-hmm. what I make mm-hmm. and just have a, why?
She's pissed. Why are rightfully
you,
so.
I mean, yeah, but like, but yeah, like you said, like,
and he's cheating on her. And it's probably something he's been doing for years.
Probably. You know? That's.
The way he was so casual. I'm like, this is a pattern.
I feel like, yeah, he's, because the way he would act is always the same, like, plateaued mood all yeah. the time, which was kind of weird for me. It was like he was high all the time or, like, on something.
Like, strung out.
Yeah, it was just weird.
He seemed very somber. He was just like, oh. And he was very condescending, I would say.
Yeah.
He was very condescending, especially towards Japanese culture. Like, he was rolling his eyes when they brought out, I think they're, like, having, like, hot pot, essentially. And they brought out the meat and, like, all the veggies. And he literally rolled his eyes. He was like, what kind of restaurant makes you cook your own
food? Yeah, 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 he did say. Oh, wait, I thought that was a joke, though.
I think it was a joke, but he was also like, oh, my
yeah, yeah,
God.
He was like, now that I think of it, I think Bill Murray was not a very good person.
No.
But anyways, I think, yeah, there's two sides to both stories. I also think that.
I love how we're using his name too. Bill Murray is not a very good person.
Oh, like, oh my God. I honestly, we should. What's his name in the movie?
I don't know.
Bob, right?
Probably.
Bob.
Yeah.
Bob.
I don't know what her, Charlotte, is that her name in the movie?
No.
Scarlett Johansson?
No, no. Hold on. Her name was, I don't even remember. Yeah, it's weird how we're using their actual names.
Yeah.
She was Charlotte. Charlotte. And then.
Oh, I was right.
Yeah. I thought you said Scarlett. And then Bill Murray is Bob Harris.
Oh, okay. You're
yeah.
Right.
Bob Harris is not a very good person, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there was just so many things that were going on between him and his family.
Yeah.
Also, I think. I don't think it was a smart idea to just let the daughter not speak with his dad. Because that's going to affect him long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Because if you don't teach kids what you're doing for them at a young age, I think they won't appreciate it as much or know about it as much when they grow up. Because later on, like, they're, you know, if the dad's like, you know what I've done for you? And the daughter's like, I have no idea what the hell you did. You weren't even there for me. All you did was give me money. But, like, that money is the reason why we have a roof over our head. You're going to college. You have no idea how much that, like, do you know what I had to go through to get that money
yeah.
for you?
Yeah.
I was in Japan cooking my own food, for Christ's sake. You know?
Yeah, there was this director, and he was saying yeah, so much, and I only understood two words of
it. Two words. And those two words were from the translator.
All yeah. that I do for you.
But yeah, I think the mother should have been giving more attention to how your father is doing this for you, and he's there for a reason. Yeah. So even though you miss him, just understand mm-hmm. that, you know, there's always a reason for what's going on. And then, you know, deal with their relationship privately. Like, why did they, I don't know.
I can imagine that maybe that's the dialogue happening in between, or between the mother and the children of, like, where's daddy? Why isn't daddy home? Well, he's gotta work for you guys.
Yeah.
Daddy's on a business trip.
You need to elaborate more than work, though, when you say that to your kids. Like, don't just say, like, oh, yeah, he's at work. Like, come on. Like, what do they know about work? Like, say, like, you know, give them.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. If you, 'cause, like, later on, you'd be like, all you were doing was at work. Mm-hmm. You weren't there for me. You didn't teach me how to ride a bicycle. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think we covered quite a bit of things of the movie. I mean, overall, I think the movie was a very good movie. It was nice how I didn't feel any like strong emotions. It was kind mm-hmm. of just, it literally went with the flow. Everything was just going.
The movie really felt like the director, I was surprised to see at the end of it that it was directed, or actually I wasn't surprised. Instead I was like, ah, yeah, when I saw that it was directed by Sofia Coppola. It felt like it had a strong presence of a woman's touch.
Mm.
This was very evident to me. And just the, like, ease of the movie and the style of it, it felt very Sofia Coppola-like.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who she is.
Oh, she's a director. Do you know Francis Ford Coppola? He's, like, an old director, very famous.
No, I don't think I really know directors. I should get into, like, who directed the movies. I usually look at the screenwriters.
That makes sense for you. Because
I'm more into, like, the dialogue.
Yeah. And writing. And,
yeah, yeah. But, yeah, overall, the movie was good. I enjoyed the movie.
Me too.
It was, now that I talk about it, it's kind of weird how I don't really like Bob Harris now. Because, like, he was kind of, he cheated and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it says about me that I don't dislike him for that. I'm just kind of like, yeah. I
don't, like, dislike him. I just feel like he wasn't the best person.
No. And I can see that he definitely was not the best person. And still, I get him.
Me too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And, yeah. And I like him, even though he's kind of a pee-pee head.
Yeah, he was a pee-pee head.
Yeah.
A little bit of a pee-pee head.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we have 3 minutes left, so I guess we'll just be talking about other random stuff. We could discuss, or actually, Bailey recommended a movie called Legend. Tom Hardy, do you know that movie?
No.
It's like, I don't even know. I mean, I saw a little clip on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and it seems pretty okay.
Is it intense, or is it like love?
No, it's not love. It's more of a crime drama.
Ooh.
Taron Egerton.
Oh, I know him.
Oh my God, I love him. Did you know he's the voice actor for the monkey in Sing?
I have not seen Sing, but I believe you.
Yeah. he also, do you know the movie called Rocket Man?
Yeah, he was Elton.
He was Elton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he apparently he had a have like a vocal coach on how he can sing like Elton John.
So cool.
It was so cool.
I swear, if I had a vocal coach, I think I'd be a really good singer, Jeff.
You know what?
I think so.
I believe you.
Na, 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 na.
Na, na, na. You know what? Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like the singing.
Do you think if you had an Elton John vocal coach, you could sound exactly like him? Do you think your body is capable of producing an Elton John voice?
I'd like to believe I already can.
Ooh.
Let's see. I don't know. Maybe I'll see if I can.
Okay. Go.
But anyways, we are actually out of time. So thank you again, Armella, for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff.
Let me know if you can come on next week.
Yes, I can.
Okay. all right, then. I hope everyone has a lovely day, and I will see you guys next week.
Yeah, it's goodbye. So sunny.
Oh, yeah. Please enjoy the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it while it's there.
Yeah, vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
You need it.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Burn, baby, burn. You spend the night with me. I want you to no more, please, please. These rivers run to the ocean. Yeah.
back for another Richmond broadcast. Oh, well. Whew. Yes, unfortunately, we are having bad weather here, and we are also, well, it's getting dark earlier now, isn't it? Okay. We are now going to